Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Every week feels worth celebrating that, but I'm not going to lie. This one hits a little different. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egbuamuke still here, and Jhené here after the opening week of NFL games in a way that, like, we're all buzzing still off this. And I know for you especially, as someone diving full-fledged into it this year, yesterday was kind of a lot in all the best ways.
Oh, it was so much. So y'all should have told me that I should have got my Sunday ticket probably like a week before. Because if you try to do it about an hour before the matchups, I'm sure that they're overloaded. But hey, the good news is we got it. But the one thing that I was mad at is I didn't know you guys like pace, you take naps, you don't literally sit in front of the TV with your eyes like this, trying to watch every second of every, I mean, even though that's what we ended up doing, but I didn't pace myself properly, and I was up from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., but it was absolutely worth it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing in here is the naps on everything has to happen before that. Your morning leading up to kickoff at 1 o'clock has to be very carefully measured out, proper hydration, because I find this is what happens every year. I get to Sundays, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to do better. I'm going to be more aware, and then you get sucked into the void. And all of a sudden, you're getting ready for Sunday night football in that little window, and I black back in, and I look around, and my whole house is pitch black because I've been sitting there as the day has gotten darker and completely forgot to turn on lights, get more food, anything. It completely takes you over.
Well, you started off with a full box of donuts. My question is, did you end with a full box, or how much work did you do?
No. There was only one way that was going to end, which was total destruction. And by the way, shout out to our very own Jhené Egbuamuke for getting donuts right and situated over in here in Bristol for the entire crew out here in ESPN Radio. Big ups to that one, and as an homage to my father,
let's
Michael
go.
Senior, back in the college football booth this weekend.
That was my first game. I was super excited, and like father, like son right there, taking a big bite of a good old donut. But he told me the recipe to success. I mean, we've always considered ourselves a secret sauce of ESPN Radio. And he said, Jhené, for success, to get to your now work husband's heart, you have to go through his stomach, particularly through donuts. So.
Exactly. And it's worked out really well so far because we could keep the energy going that came off this weekend. And Jhené, it went all the way through to last night. We mentioned that lead up to Sunday Night Football. It delivered in a big way inside what looked like Delo's headquarters, which was actually the Los Angeles Rams and Chargers home at SoFi Stadium. Them and the Cowboys played a hell of a game, 2017 win for the Los Angeles Rams, but it really all came down to the ending of this one, Jhené. A very questionable offensive pass interference call, unless you're Dominique Foxworth. And, of course, that 4th-and-3 where they ultimately come up short in that situation and lose the game. And so, Jhené, I'll ask you the question that everyone's asked themselves this morning first. You see the replay of it happening now, and you saw it live. That OPI, fair or foul?
Oh, I think it is foul, just because, you know, it's interesting. You talk about how, you know, we wanted to see the Cowboys like have this momentum, especially coming into a year where there's so many weapons, even though there were a number of, you know, injuries that could affect them in the future. We want to see them with their new coach, and we want to see them with Dak sort of having to push them into a corner with his level of success. We want to see CeeDee Lamb succeed, especially that last play. Like, it was sort of trying to right, you know, all these wrongs of the past all in one game, one play, or at least two plays. But that OPI, like, let me tell you here, it's funny because everyone comes at me with like, what do you think? But also it's like they tie in Marcus Smart. Like, was it a flop? Was it a Marcus Smart type of flop? To me, at the juncture of the game, it shouldn't have been called, just because I think, you know, as athletes, we know that off arm, it's the extension, but we also know that it has to be at 90 degrees. And then after you pass 90 degrees, that's when, you know, you're like, you're playing with fire. In my opinion, it didn't pass 90 degrees so much. And I know a lot of people see the last few plays and sort of like are like, oh, we lost based on those plays. To me, it was more so, okay, what's the story of the game? I was looking for the third down conversions. It was a little suspect, and we know that that's, you know, been a historical problem for the Cowboys. And then also, Dallas managed 3 points on its 6 drives in the second half. So, like, I was expecting more, you know, a little bit more consistent firepower. But we also know that throughout the course of the NFL, you know, the launch, especially on Sunday, a lot of teams struggle just because they haven't had the reps to fine-tune a lot. But it did come down to that call.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Speaking of struggles, we'll get to some big-time struggles inside the Superdome for a couple of quarterbacks and where the blame might actually need to go in Tampa Bay right now. But want to hear from Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys' new head coach that you mentioned, who was asked about that OPI after the game and had this to say.
You know, I really didn't see a replay of it. Just watching it live, it looked like two guys hand fighting. I thought it was well executed. I was surprised there was a call there. Either way, so very obviously disappointed in the call, particularly at that point in the game. I thought they let both teams play tonight, and you know you just don't usually see that, particularly at a critical point in the game. So I have not seen a replay, so that's about as much as I can comment on it.
And Chiney, seeing it happen last night, seeing it again, rewatching it this morning, and seeing it playing on ESPN News now. I don't think that was OPI in the way that we're looking at it. I think, Jalen Ramsey, to your credit, what you brought up, I think that was straight out of the NBA playbook there. Just enough of a sell from him in that moment to create a little bit of doubt there. And in that situation, Jalen Ramsey is the star in that matchup and drawing that. And between that, I understand that the fourth and three call there, the play of choice by Mike McCarthy there, that route being run short on the fourth down. All of those are issues that need to be taken into account. And in critical moments, we know that's the difference in this league where the talent gap is so close. I don't know which team was necessarily better or worse in this game. The Rams seem to have done a lot of things different, but I know this much. Dallas on defense has a ton of questions because that group got rolled off the ball regularly and now looks like they're going to be down one of their best linebackers. But, Janae, my number one takeaway from last night, and this is going to shock a lot of people, really going out on a limb on this one, Aaron Donald's going to be the defensive player of the year again this year. That human bowling ball was out there wreaking havoc. I don't know. Well, I know who ticked him off, and they might be inside this building, but he is ticked off, and he looks like he is playing on a completely different level right now. And if they're going to get that kind of production from him all this season, that's going to make the NFC West even more fun than it was already going to be.
Yeah. Watching him, it was so much fun because it's sort of like a black hole. Like, you have to draw so much of your O-line to try to stop him defensively that now it creates so many opportunities for others. But I agree. Like, the biggest takeaway, I came in going to watch and looking to watch the Cowboys offense, but I left looking at the Rams defense, and I was like, whoa. That has potential to really hold them down in a way that last season was a disappointment. This season, maybe they can look to that more as an option.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And you're right, you brought that up. Leonard Floyd, who fans of Chicago Bears are probably looking at going, where the hell was that the entire time that we had you in our Bears uniform, showed up in a big way for the Rams last night. Michael Brockers, all these guys, you're right, beneficiaries of what Aaron Donald's able to do in the middle of that defense. And for the Cowboys on the other side, I look at this team now and the way that defense, you know, Mike McCoy's new defense lined up and basically said, we're going to try and play base, hold you up inside, and got rolled off the rock. This Cowboys offense better be ready to try and score 35-plus points a game because they might have to win playing Big 12 football at this point.
But you know what's funny? You talk about the Bears. They're feeling all right. Like, coming off, they're feeling all right. Come on now.
You know what? We'll get to the Bears in a little bit as one of the teams that surprised a little bit on this one and was a part of creating one of the moments of the weekend. We look at some bad endings for some teams that might be coming out of the gate already looking to hit the panic switch on that one. But Chiney, we got a great guest list coming up today on the show, by the way. Chiney Angola Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Our guest list includes Hall of Fame wideout Andre Reed, who's going to join us, go over, maybe look at some of those last second plays for the Cowboys down the stretch and tell us from that perspective what he thought and saw. Adam Rittenberg, our ESPN college football reporter, is going to join us at 4:45, give us an update on what's happening inside the Big Ten. Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst, at 5:30, fresh off another NFL Live. And Steve Levy, one of the voices you're going to hear on Monday Night Football, coming up later this evening. He's going to be on the call for the Titans and Broncos late game. He's joining us at 6:30 Eastern. If you miss any of those guests, you can listen to all 3 hours on demand in the ESPN app. But coming up next, a lot of people looking to keep score for Brady and Belichick early on in this season. I'll tell you where the blame actually lies from inside the Superdome yesterday when we come back. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
As we get ready to have a discussion about quarterbacks aging gracefully, it feels only right that we had the versus battle that we did last night today.
Talk about aging gracefully. Ooh. Patti LaBelle, Gladys Knight. I had, so again, I told you, I need to get like another TV, honestly, because I had the games up, but I had Red Zone on my iPad, and then I had Versus on my computer.
It was I feel like everyone, as much as NFL Twitter, and we talked about this with Cassidy, NFL Twitter and football Twitter this weekend was fully back in a way that brought my heart so much joy. But in the middle of that, I saw so many people dialed into Patty and Gladys on that one. And I feel like everyone now is searching this morning to where they can get a sequence pantsuit, right?
I tweeted it. I was watching it and I was like, first of all, I'm a big fan of glitter already and bedazzling and all that type of stuff. My sisters think I'm corny because I lean into all that ish. I was like, I need that. Y'all, for those who don't know, Gladys Knight came out like A1. So did Patty. Patty had like, first of all, Patty LaBelle kicked off her shoes, which was so much fun because you wait for that moment. That means she's getting turnt. She started dancing. I fully wish to be an auntie like Patty LaBelle. And also I hope to cook and throw down and have a patty pie, like make sweet potato pies as good as Patty LaBelle. But Gladys had a beautiful pinkish, magenta-ish glitter suit. And I think all of us just stand so hard for that. And Versus was amazing. And it was, and as you mentioned, it was about two legends in the game just having a good time, appreciating each other. You know, we talk about on this program so much about when you have two people that are so talented, we naturally consider them rivals, but this was all about an appreciation for them.
And you know what? I think that is really the perfect segue, because we had that appreciation, and Lord knows rating-wise there was a lot of appreciation for that Saints and Tampa Bay game. I think it was 16-1 or something. Ooh. Overnight for that one. One of Fox's highest-rated games in 4 years in that slot on opening weekend. But those two quarterbacks going into this, we talk about all the accolades for Tom Brady and Drew Brees in that game, squaring off now as members of the same division in the NFC South. And Chiney, what we got out of that was, I think, more questions and concern than anything else when you watch both of these quarterbacks starting to look a little bit more their age.
Yeah, it's true. But I think the big picture here is when I looked at the Saints, I was like, oh, snap. This is what you see a seasoned offense looking like, and even defense. But I don't know how much more if it was Tom more than the defense. But you saw what you sort of hope to see if you're a Saints fan, if you're a part of Who Dat Nation. But like to me, a bigger picture is that when you're talking about Tampa Bay and Tom, a lot of people are going to talk about his errors. But this is a reminder, no OTAs, no scrimmages, you know, limited scrimmages and practices, you know, in that confine, no preseason. You have a new coach, you have a new offensive line, pretty much. You have a new playbook. So I expected a struggle, but maybe not so much, because we were also witnessing a new version of Tom Brady, and one that we had maybe too high of expectations for.
Well, and I think we saw that hype really starting to, you know, the hype train starting to leave the station when that Leonard Fournette signing happened, and everyone just looks around at all the names on this team, and seeing that versus how it translates onto the field is completely different. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here was Bruce Arians, Bucks head coach, assessing Tom Brady's performance after the game last night.
He came out lighting up. We go right down the field and score touchdowns. So I wouldn't say he was out of sync at all until we started screwing it up. We didn't run the ball as well as I thought we would on the edges. We had some success, but you know, we had some good drives and we had some really poor drives. But the turnovers and the penalties were the key.
And Chiney, I'll say this. A lot of people are going to focus. Week one, Bill Belichick and Cam Newton get a win over the Dolphins. Tom Brady takes a L in New Orleans. And everyone's going to say, all right, Belichick 1-0, Brady 0-1 here, as we try and map out the postmortem on their relationship in New England. This falls way more to me on Bruce Arians and the coaching job for the rest of this team. Because Tom Brady, when you go back and look at, all right, people talking about his arm strength, things fading. Yeah, the interception was bad. Yeah, there were both interceptions were bad in this situation. But you look at the deep passes that are the hallmark of the Bruce Arians offense, and Tom was on the money on those.
Yep.
That offense was still in a position to win for the majority of that game. They lost that game when Brady was sacked on a motion play where the motion man ran right into the left tackle and knocked him off the end for an easy sack. They had a blocked kick not long after that. Then on the ensuing drive, they jump off sides on a 4th and 2. The defensive tackle over the ball after a 2-minute timeout jumps off sides and allows the Saints to go on and score. And then after that, there's a penalty that shortens the kickoff. The Saints pop it up. And
oh,
what
my
do the
gosh.
Bucks do?
But I forgot about that.
But muff the onsides and give the ball back to the Saints. Those
I forgot about that one.
The most penalized football team from last year indicate to me a level of sloppiness and a lack of attention to detail that are far more problematic than anything Tom did this weekend.
Yeah, watching that kick that was botched, I think it sort of summed up the entire nature of the especially, you know, the Bucks and how they played. And I think a lot of people are going and running to Tom, and we're going to put a lot of weight on Tom. But as you mentioned, you're right. Like, if you think of those two interceptions, the first one, it was on Mike Evans' route, right, where it was just a miscommunication. And it's one of those things where it's like, maybe in the past I didn't have to do everything, you know, that my quarterback wants. I can sort of make my own. Like, no. You saw quickly, because as they were walking off the field, you saw Tom sort of give him a side and like, uh-uh, this is not going to play. We can't make that type of mistake. And I think that, what was it? There was a pick six. There was a pick six as well.
And the pick six was a bad ball by Tom. He threw that behind him going to the wide side of the field. That one's going to get picked every time. That is 100% a bad throw by Tom.
Exactly. So putting it into context, I mean, this was hard and there were tough moments, but it wasn't just on Tom, and we give him the two INTs, but it's not necessarily the case there. I think one was a miscommunication. Overall, this Bucks team just looked kind of discombobulated. And I think, you know, when you fold that against the Saints, who sort of know who they are. And then I forgot who was the one that tweeted. It was Michael Thomas. Shout out. I have Michael Thomas in fantasy. If Michael Thomas is like, look, we look smart for getting our players played, because Alvin Kamara, the way he played reflects why they were patient in paying him and making sure they rewarded him. So if I'm the Saints, I'm feeling good. If I'm the Bucks, I'm being a little bit more patient, knowing that you guys have a lot of work to do with the chemistry, but also it's good to take that lesson week one, right? Like, not to sort of build up this false confidence that, oh, we have all these weapons and we can be comfortable. No, because when the Saints come marching in, that sort of will humble you and teach you a lesson.
I will say this, of the two quarterbacks right now, as we look at Brady and Breeze, the rest of that Saints team, you're right, that defense looked ferocious. Demario Davis and the rest of those guys, Cam Jordan, were insane. They were frothing at the mouth the entire night. Offensively, you're right, Alvin Kamara looked great. Michael Thomas made some of the most difficult catches I've seen. They look like they're covering for Drew Brees. Like, Drew Brees, way more off target than we're used to seeing from him. That arm strength that we've seen kind of dip and struggle late in the season looked like it was showing up. I have more concerns about what Drew Brees looks like going through the course of the season than what I saw from Tom Brady early in this. We'll see, because again, the team around him, like you said, so good and so used to being around each other, so sure of each other, that's going to buoy them for a while here. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
And you're right, because as much as we talk about Tom Brady and we employ ageism saying he's 43, Drew Brees is 41. So those numbers do add up.
Exactly. It all starts to add up at this point, but it does add up to a Saints win, a good division win to start the season. We'll get to it in a little bit. Team to keep an eye on in that division that I thought showed up better than it'll get credit for. But coming up next, the offensive pass interference against Michael Gallup. We'll get someone to take us inside that play in a way that neither of us can. We'll get to that next after this word from DraftKings. See, it was nice. We had the teams back out there over the weekend on the field, and lucky for us, that was just week one. There's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. And if you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now, because you don't want to miss this. Draft your lineup now and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. And it's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and then see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app now and use code CJR. For a limited time, new users going to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the Week 2 action. Just enter code CJR and get a free shot at millions in prizes with your first deposit. That's code CJR only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back after this, it's Janae and Golic Jr.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get an update on
what's going to
happen with the Big Ten vote. That is on me. Microphone was turned off. We used to be punished live on air for that back in the mornings. Thankfully, a little more grace around here in the afternoon right now. We're vibing with it. But we will get an update from our very own Adam Rittenberg on what's going on in the Big Ten at this point. That vote that's supposed to happen that keeps getting pushed down the road after a lot of conversation over the weekend on the potential return to play for that conference. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. And let's go there to talk to our next guest. We're delighted to be joined by Hall of Fame wide receiver Andre Reed now, former Buffalo Bills great. And Andre, got to be feeling good. Victory Monday for Buffalo as they start the season 1-0.
Exactly. It's Victory Monday. Hey, I just want to say I love the music in the background, man.
Listen, we aim to please around here. We like to welcome our guests in the right way on this one, Andre.
Good choice. Yeah, I'm very pleased on how they played yesterday. You know, execution was definitely paramount yesterday. You know, any game, they got to execute to win. Josh Allen had his first 300-yard game. He spread the ball well. Still, you know what? Every team, everybody's saying that, oh, yeah, why is he running it too? He's running it too much. But every team has a quarterback that's going to do those kind of things. Look what Cam did yesterday, 2 touchdowns. So that's always in their arsenal. Josh is a pretty good runner when he gets the ball and when he gets out of the pocket. So, and he spread the ball around perfectly. You know, Diggs and Cole Beasley and John Brown and the tight ends that got some of the running backs involved. So that bodes well for them moving on against better teams. Nothing against the Jets. They were supposed to win that game, but they did it in an efficient way. Still, protection of the ball is going to be paramount for this team moving forward for them against the better teams, because better teams will be able to capitalize on mistakes. And it's about getting it to the playmakers, letting those guys do their thing. And it's Josh is going to have to probably win some games by himself this year. And they're waiting. They're looking for him to do that. He's in his third year. I think he's made a big step, especially during training camp, as far as the offense goes, knowing what's going on, knowing his reads, progressions, all that kind of stuff. It's just up to him to protect the ball and to make the right decisions in the right time, which is what the quarterback should do. So, you know, I'm very pleased with them. They play Miami next week down there. It's always hard to go down to Miami early in the season with the heat. And you never know with the Dolphins and what they're going to do. So that's going to be a tough game for them to go all the way that way and win that game.
Hall of Famer Andre Reed with us here on Chenea and Golic Jr. And you mentioned certainly Josh Allen does a lot with his legs, but that wide receiver group, we know adding Stephon Diggs this offseason, that's a major strength.
Yes.
And you got a chance to talk with those guys during training camp. What was your impression from that group, getting to be around them, getting to be inside that room a little bit?
Well, we had a Zoom call, obviously, during all the COVID stuff. Me and James Lofton had a Zoom call with all their receivers, the coach, the offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach, the receiver coach. So we really got to know those guys a little bit. And, you know, you look at their receiver core, they added 2 rookies that are going to get some playing time this year to spell, you know, the 3 guys, John Brown and Diggs who's the other guy? Cole Beasley, yes, sorry. I blew a fuse there. But they're going to get some playing time. They're going to be able to make some plays. And this is a group of guys who not only know their skill set and what they can do, but they're going to make everybody else around them better. They're going to make Josh Allen better. And that's going to be great for their offense. And the running backs, I think they got, you know, one of the 2 best. You know, Zach Moss is kind of an unknown guy out of Utah. He had a great career there. He's going to be a big, big factor inside the 20. Devin Singletary is more of an elusive kind of back, and Moss is kind of a back that just likes to pound it up in there. So that is going to be good for them offensively as well. And, you know, the offensive line has to stay healthy. So that's going to be a big thing for them all year.
You're right. The best ability is availability, especially. Now we're here with Andre Reed, Hall of Famer, here on Chenea and Golic Jr. Now, I know you were super excited about how we were vibing getting into your interview. Before I get to my real question, I'm just wondering, did you have 2 screens watching the versus battle with Patty and Gladys, or did you miss that from yesterday?
I missed that. I saw that. I'm trying to figure that out. You know,
it's okay.
I met Gladys. Yeah. I met Gladys Knight over the years. I did a charity event with her here in San Diego about a year and a half ago, and you know, not only a tremendous singer, but what a tremendous lady she is. I mean, she's kind of soul royalty when it comes to music. You can't go wrong with Gladys Knight.
Oh yes,
and,
they put it all on YouTube. And just spoiler alert, she's wearing a bomb glitter suit. I'm gonna get one. But my real question here is: we all know that the Bills haven't won a playoff game since '95. How hopeful are you that they will win the division at least?
Well, I mean, on paper, this is how it started all last year and through the so-called preseason. Even though there weren't any games, they added guys again. You said Stephon, and defensively, I think they're a better team. Tremaine Edmonds is an excellent linebacker. Can move side to side. Can do everything for them. adding guys, Quentin Jefferson and a couple other guys they've added there on the defensive line. I think they're going to be putting pressure on the quarterback, and it's going to be good for the defense to do that, to get the offense some time to rest. And, you know, they got to work together to get things going. And I feel that this could be a year where the unknown guys on that team are going to step up to make the guys that are starting play better. And that's good for your football team.
Andre, I'm curious, as we look elsewhere around the league, last night we had a real barn burner down the end between the Rams and the Cowboys that came down to a pretty controversial call on an offensive pass interference call against Michael Gallup, and then a fourth and short that ultimately landed with a wide receiver getting the ball in his hands short of the first down marker. I want to start with the offensive pass interference. As you look at that, how difficult are those situations to navigate for a wide receiver where you know in these hypersensitive focus moments of the game, all eyes are on you trying to get separation without pushing the line?
Yeah, but I watched that play 3 or 4 times, and I think it was, you know, it was incidental contact. If they both were kind of fighting for the ball, I mean, Jalen Ramsey is the top 5, if not top 3 corner in the league, and Michael Gallup has done such a great job there in Dallas the last 2-3 years since he's been there. So that was one of those calls that could have went either way. It wasn't like you could see what was going on because they both were in position to get the ball, to fight for ball. And, you know, that was one of those calls where you were like, really? And, you know, went the Rams' way, and they got the ball back and, you know, ran out the clock. So we'll see.
And, Andre, I'm curious, that that last play there, too, the fourth down play, CeeDee Lamb gets the ball in his hand just short there. Take us inside those plays, because we always hear, especially when it comes to need it, got to have it situations, third or fourth down, running a route to the sticks. What are you telling the receiver after a play like that, especially a young one like CeeDee?
Well, I think, you know, it looked like it was man-to-man, so it maybe could have pushed him up another yard or so. But a young guy is probably – he knows that probably to a certain point, but those are the small little things, the intricacies, small things that you have to realize in a situation like that where probably the Rams did blitz and wanted to make Dak Prescott throw that ball a little quicker, and you got to get into your route fast and make sure you have enough yardage if he's going to tackle you to be either a yard more than the sticks or not. I mean, or yeah, you got to be at least a yard and a half close to the stick. So I would say that was a mistake. You know, it was a good play by the defensive back of getting the tackle, because he had to go through one or two guys, I think, just to get that tackle. So, you know, maybe we're trying to get a pick or a mismatch or something like that. So that was a good play by him. And I think, you know, the receiver coach will tell him that, you know, in situations like that where you know you need 5 and you got to go at least 6 or 7 if you can get it. And that starts at the line. You got to beat the man at the line. And, you know, it didn't happen that time. So I'm sure he's learned from that. And I'm sure he'll do better next time.
Absolutely. It is only week 1. We tend to forget that as we go along with this and young players like him. Andre, we appreciate the time and the insight. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon. Congrats and enjoy Victory Monday.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Hall of Famer Andre Reed with us here on Shanae and Golic Jr. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Coming up next, hope left for the Big Ten? We'll find out with one of our best insiders next. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, and coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to a major debut in New England that's got people bubbling already and making
side
some slanderous
action.
Comparisons to Tom Brady. Yes, Janae's side piece showing up and showing out this weekend. But as we mentioned, all guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, and we are delighted now, as we turn our eyes back to college football, to be joined by our very own Adam Rittenberg, senior writer here at ESPN. And Adam, we appreciate the time. There's been so much swirling over this weekend about the Big Ten and what's to come here. Where are we at on the latest for the potential vote from the presidents and chancellors on when this might happen, the idea that a resumption to play is something still on the table for them?
Sure. Well, great to be with you guys. Yeah, it's still waiting, and that's where we've been, you know, throughout Sunday. There was a
a very extensive presentation to all the Big Ten presidents and chancellors, focused mainly on the updated medical information and the resources that are now available if the league were to start football. Today, there hasn't been a whole lot, at least said publicly, although the Wisconsin chancellor not too long ago was telling reporters that no matter what the Big Ten does, we're all going to go in this together. So it's not going to be a school-by-school thing. There have been some reports and speculation that a number of Big Ten schools might opt out, even if the league does decide to start playing football in mid-October. So, yeah, still waiting for a decision, but all the information has been relayed at this point to the presidents and chancellors. They just need to ultimately vote and make a decision on whether to return.
Adam, you're right. It feels like there's been information overload because we won Big Ten football, but it's poised to be way more complex and complicated than that. We've heard thoughts, we've heard opinions, reports from players, coaches, presidents, you name it. But what has really changed between the postponement back in early August to now?
Right. I think it's mostly been around the medical information, especially the rapid testing. You know, I know we all talk to college football coaches, and one theme that I've heard even from those that are playing right now is that the contact tracing issue is a huge obstacle to just having practices, to avoiding postponed games, which we're seeing throughout the country. And so I think the fact that rapid testing in the Big Ten's exploring at least four options, we're told, about rapid testing, would, if that could get in place, if there's additional safeguards around, you know, possible heart issues and other effects from those who have had COVID-19 that were a concern when the league postponed the first time around. I just think there's generally more confidence in the Big Ten medical community, including several of the lead team physicians that are part of the subcommittee that presented to the president over the weekend about all of these issues that initially scared the league and got the league to postpone. We could certainly debate whether the league should have waited in terms of making that decision to postpone to see what was going to evolve over the next few weeks, but they decided not to. They formed this group to really look at things, and there have been a number of encouraging developments on the medical front. That would be the reason why they returned. There's going to be a lot said, guys, about politicians and certainly the parents that protested. I'm not saying that they had nothing to do with it, but if the Big Ten comes back, it's going to be because the medical information changed.
You can follow him on Twitter at ESPN Rittenberg. Adam, we appreciate the time and the update. We'll look forward to hearing
Thanks,
what happens
Adam.
Next.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
ESPN.com senior writer Adam Rittenberg joined us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas, gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. And so, Chiney, that's what it seems to be, and that's what they're going to need. I'm glad he focused that on. It will be because of the advancements in medicine, because we saw this weekend college football was every bit as chaotic on this front as I expected.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we saw a number of upsets largely because teams are, you outlined it in our pre-show meeting. Why don't you take us, like, tell us how you really feel, because you showed how, you know, there are certain teams that are dealing not just with one or two players that are out due to protocols, but it's like swaths of players. Tell me how you really feel, because college football is your thing, thing.
Well, it is, and it was great to have it back. Like, it was great to see these games. I stayed up till 1 in the morning watching Coastal Carolina beat Kansas in a game where they were wire to wire the better team. But the problem was, the chaos was not the usual things we're used to seeing. If you told me going into opening weekend that three Sun Belt teams would upset Big 12 teams, I'd be through the moon, because that's the chaos we usually love. But it's not driven by the same things. It's not just the normal things that come with college football. It's Georgia Southern going out announcing 33 players were inactive. And now we don't know, because, again, no one has to provide us with accurate information whether or not they were all COVID-related or not. But we saw they had players miss. Oklahoma dealt with players out and missing because of this. West Virginia suspended 11 players for non-COVID-related reasons that I have a feeling are somehow related, because this whole offseason has made it so different. And, again, it goes back to no central leadership or no true plan for this. So whatever the Big Ten decides to do, I hope that they are a lot more transparent and acquit themselves better in explaining whatever's going to happen going forward, because we've seen the haves, a lot of cases, are able to pull this off, are able to test and keep people safe. But everywhere else, there have been schedule changes, postponements. It's been a a wild ride, and it's only early on in this, Chennai.
How do you forget your alma mater, NDU Duke? You saw something crazy happen during that game as well. Hello?
Oh, I mean, listen, like Duke getting their schedule changed because Virginia already had their schedule changed because of the postponed game against Virginia Tech is exactly what we know is coming with this football season, but I still don't know how ready everyone is to truly deal with this. We'll see if college football can stomach more of the changes coming their way, but coming up, big change for one of the NFL's premier franchises. We'll grade how it went next. It's Chennai and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.